Welcome to the Housing Commission meeting of February 10th, 2017. I'd like to call both the regular meeting and the special meeting to order. Can we get a roll call, please? It looks like we have a full house here of all commissioners present. Let me say at this point here, we have for those members of the public that wish to address the commission, you must complete a speaker form. You're going to be limited to 3 minutes each. Do we have any speakers from the public wishing to address the commission at this time? Seeing none, we will move on. Do we have any commissioner comments? Seeing none, very good. We will move on to there, and we will move on to the president and chief executive officer, Mr. Gentry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as always, I've got a few announcements and comments I'd like to make to the board this morning, mainly to talk about events that have occurred since the last board meeting. There have been a number heavily related to homelessness. On January the 19th, two regional homeless organizations in San Diego merged into one organization. That was the Regional Continuum of Care Council, which I now chair, and the Regional Task Force on the Homeless. Those merged, and the Regional Task Force on the Homeless won out for the proper name for the combined group. I remain chair, at least for the foreseeable future, and that organization is now not only conducts the annual count of the homeless every year, but also oversees the administration of some more than $17 million annually in homeless funds from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, which are separate from the funds that come into this housing commission. Also, on January the 27th, the Regional Task Force on the Homeless conducted the annual count of the homeless throughout the city and county of San Diego. It occurred in the wee hours. I'd like to point out that there were, I believe, six commissioners who participated in that count, everybody except for the one who's on travel status that day. So that was a very nice thing for you all to do. Commissioners Surdy, Davis, Grambling, Hubbard, Moraga, and Spoon, thank you very much. Also, in late January, on January the 25th, the Housing Commission conducted the 11th annual Project Homeless Connect downtown, which is a one-day fair, if you will, for the homeless. This year, we assisted some 1,016 individuals. And for the first time in the 11 years of that event, the numbers were down. There were something like 1,250 a year ago, 1,016 this year. We don't know what that means yet, whether that's an aberration or whether it is indicative of something, we'll find out. And I suspect that once the count, the snapshot count from the We All Count event comes back, which will be in late March, we'll see whether the totals of the last 4 years, which have ranged between about 8,600 total in the county to about 8,900 total, remain the same, go up, or decline, as did the Project Homeless Connect attendance. I'll point out that for the Project Homeless Connect Day, we served 1,016 homeless. We had something like 350 volunteers, close to 90 service providers there. We were joined by Mayor Kevin Faulkner, Council Members Chris Ward and Barbara Bree, and Housing Commissioners Grambling, Spoon, and Davis. Also, that event was co-sponsored by the City of San Diego, the Interfaith Shelter Network, Family Health Centers of San Diego, and Father Joe's Villages. And this was a most worthwhile event. We appreciate all the volunteer partners who helped us put this together and then conduct it. And my special shout-out to the homeless staff here who basically made this work again for the seventh straight year. Melissa and her folks did a wonderful, wonderful job. Two city council presentations that have occurred with respect to the Housing Commission since the last board meeting. On January the 25th, we did a presentation before the Smart Growth and Land Use Committee regarding the city's housing crisis. This was a summit called by the chair of that committee. And we presented the paper that was put together about a year ago that was overseen by Debbie Ruane and her folks, and again went over the 11 recommended items included in the report to lower costs for developing affordable housing in San Diego. On January the 31st, Lynn Reeser presented the economic impact statement that she developed for this agency that she presented to this board last October. And Dr. Reeser's presentation to the city council showed their combined economic impact throughout the city and the county. It was very well received, and we received a lot of good accolades from the council that I wanted to share back with this board. Finally, two other brief comments, Mr. Chairman. Number one, on February the 21st, I've been honored to be asked to come to do some training to U.S. Senate staff in Washington, D.C. on federal housing programs and changes that need to be made. And what I will be focusing on heavily is not only what I've learned in the few years I spent in this business, but also the value of the San Diego model. So we are continuing to get some good recognition on our decoupling of regulations that are unnecessary from the services that we provide to our customer base. And I will make sure you get a copy of those comments when they are finalized. Also, I'll point out that today is a very heavy agenda. And as I pointed out to Chairman Ertassin, we didn't just hoard up six projects waiting to hit him with them his first day on the job here as chairman. It just happened to work out that way. But if you notice, four of these six properties are permanent supportive housing for the homeless, formerly homeless, and represent almost 500 units in total that we've been able to authorize since we announced and launched the Housing Commission's Housing First San Diego set of programs in November of 2014. I think it's instructive on how long it takes to get some hard units authorized and in production, but also it's also indicative of the commitment by this community to come up with permanent solutions to house the homeless out there. I'll also point out that the other two of the six properties are not designed as permanent supportive housing for the homeless, but they do have significant voucher support built into them for the same purpose. And I'll point out in closing that the final item today, the report, since today turned into a day of showing a lot of production for the homeless, it made sense to me that we provide this board a thorough report on what this agency's produced, what we've added to the equation over the last few years, and that sometimes gets lost in public conversation. So with that, Mr. Chairman, my comments are done. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. You know, commissioners, it's great to see that the report that we've commissioned on cost for affordable housing didn't just go sit on a shelf, right? That it's continued to be used, and we continue to bring it forward to the city council and other folks, reminding them of what the cost implications are with local, state, and federal policies. And so that's the reason we did that report, and I'm glad to see that it continues to get used. Okay, let's move on from there. We don't have any consent agenda, even though it is a heavy agenda today. We will be hearing them. I'll try to be as efficient as possible as we go through there. Let me remind our audience that if you wish to speak on a matter, you need to fill out a speaker slip. If you're in opposition to a matter, you'll see the pink forms that you need to fill out. And if you're in support of a matter, you'll complete the gold-colored form. So with that, let's move on from there. The minutes of January 13th have been distributed to the commissioners. Any corrections or deletions to those minutes? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve. Thank you, Commissioner. Second by Commissioner Moraga. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. All right. Very good. Let's get on to the first item, item 100. This is the Sapphire Grantville Veterans Apartments with a loan recommendation. Mr. Wayne, are you handling the staff report?
No, sir, I'm not. Actually, Ted Miyahara will be handling this. I wanted to let the commissioners know that this is a different format than we've been presenting in the past. You now have an executive summary attached to each of the board reports, which pulls out some of the highlights of the deals very hard to consolidate a 80-page document into one, but those are the salient points, and the staff is going to make their presentations, and they're going to be truncated. So we look to you for questions and advice if this format works well.
Thank you. We appreciate the executive summary. It's helpful. And again, these items have gone through the real estate committee, and so I may ask Commissioner Grambling to offer any other detail that he wishes on these items as they've been heard through that committee. All right, Mr. Nihara, you have the floor.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry. Today's agenda is full of real estate development proposals. There's a total of 8 projects before you today, which include loan recommendations and bond issuances totaling 572 affordable units. 479 of those units are new construction. 256 of them will serve the homeless. 60% of the units will serve and target the homeless. And in November of 2014, the Housing Commission announced Housing First San Diego, the Housing Commission's 3-year action plan to address homelessness. We are just over 2 years into our action plan, and pending the outcome of today's recommendations, have committed approximately $29 million of the $30 million in capital funds. The Housing Commission's $29 million is scheduled to produce 407 units of permanent supportive housing. All 6 of the loan recommendations on today's agenda have a component of permanent supportive housing. To date, we have made 4 funding recommendations. Cypress Apartments and Talmadge Gateway are currently under construction. The Nook, which is a 91-unit project, has 8 permanent supportive housing units in it and 80 affordable housing units in it. We'll break ground this month. And Vista del Puente, which has 38 permanent supportive housing units, is scheduled to break ground this spring. Our capital deployment strategy utilizes methods and approaches that have a proven track record of working, previously approved projects, and each deal today utilizes a housing-first approach. We also use coordinated assessment and a housing placement system. And we also try to maximize the use of our funds by leveraging third-party funding sources. Staff's goal is to deploy money quickly and responsibly and also maximize the use of our funds. Our consultant has conducted a development experience and capacity review for each developer here today. Each passed with a clean bill of health. In addition, our consultant, Gordian Group, has completed a construction hard cost review for each of the 6 loan recommendations. Gordian Group evaluates the building's design, the scope of work, and determines the estimated hard costs for each development. And Gordian Group did conclude that each project is within range of industry standards. So I'll jump right into the first project, which is the Zephyr Apartments. It's a proposed $3 million loan recommendation. The project is located in the Grantville neighborhood in Council District 7. It's an 85-unit adaptive reuse project. The site is immediately north of the 8, east of the 15, and adjacent to the Grantville MTS trolley station. This is a very interesting and unique development proposal. The developer, Affirmed Housing, is proposing to convert an existing Motel 6 into permanent supportive housing for 84 veterans. It's an adaptive reuse of an existing building. The interior of the building will be gutted and reconfigured into 79 studios and 6 one-bedroom units. Major building systems such as the plumbing, mechanical, and electrical will be replaced. An existing 5,000-square-foot auxiliary building will be repurposed as office space for tenant supportive services and community space. Affirmed will be engaging PATH, assisting the homeless, also known as PATH. People assisting the homeless, also known as PATH, for high-quality supportive services that will be on-site. As I previously said, the site is also adjacent to the Grantville Trolley Station, which is only 4 stops away from the Mission Valley VA Clinic, where tenants can receive medical services such as primary care, mental health, physical therapy, and services related to PTSD. The developer is requesting a $3 million loan and 84 project-based vouchers. The transaction is structured as a 9% tax credit application. The state has awarded the project $6.3 million from their Veteran Homeless Housing Prevention Program. You'll hear me reference that as VHHP today. Total development cost is approximately $27 million, which equates to $320,000 per unit. The 84 units will be restricted to 30 and 40% of the area median income for a 55-year term. Staff is excited about this project. We think it's a model that can be replicated regionally and also possibly nationally. With that, I'll open it up for questions.
Thank you very much. That was a good presentation. You know, when I received my board packet last week, I looked at the amount, so $33 million in loans you're asking us to approve today. So I contacted the finance department to make sure that there was money available. And there is. And there is. I mean, within an hour or so, they were right back with me. And in the Affordable Housing Fund, after these loans are approved, there's still $22 million left. And then I understand that there is money coming in from the first quarter of this year. And we're about at the end of the home funds. There is a little bit left over, but about at the end of that. But so going forward, I do have some questions for you. Number one, I love the executive summary. It's absolutely perfect. I'd like to make a couple of additions to it. For example, on the Grantville project, it does say the hard costs are $320,000 a unit. Actually, those are the total costs.
So that's correct.
Yeah. So just change, if you're sending this down the street, change it to total cost on that particular one. But I do believe for all of them that you should include the hard cost and the total cost of each project, because, you know, you include total costs on some, hard costs on the other, and it becomes confusing.
Right.
And the same thing, I have the same comment about cost per square foot. It becomes confusing. You know, for some, it's $150 per square foot, and that's because it's only hard costs. It's not total costs.
Right.
You know, but when you look at total costs, this one's $534 for total costs, you know, which is much different than the hard cost number. So I would say put both of them in. And then in the comparisons where you compare to other units, just be consistent. You know, whatever it is, just be consistent. Whether it's hard costs or total costs, just always be the same so that we know, so that the board will know and the users will know, all the stakeholders will know what you're comparing it to. So given that, I see in the pro forma on this particular project and on many of the others, there is $10,000 a year for maximum resident supportive services.
So that's
doesn't seem like enough.
It's not, and that's really required by the Tax Credit Allocation Committee, where they expect there to be resident services, and that's really targeting traditional affordable housing populations. If you look deeper into the pro forma, you'll see that the developer has built in resident services for each of the residents. That total, let me look real quick.
What's the line item titled?
It would be on the operating budget.
Yeah, right. Try page 15 of 18 on the pro forma, the cash flow projection.
So if you look at the previous page, which is page 14, you'll see that under other expenses, with the line item titled social service providers, the developer is budgeting $483,000 in year one for services, which equates to $5,600 in services for each tenant. So these are probably heavy users of the system. They require intensive services, and the developer intends to address what's needed at the development.
So where does that flow through to the cash flow?
So if you look at total expenses, the year one annual operating expenses are $922,000, and that translates down.
Are you looking at page 15?
I'm looking at page 14. So I'm trying to tie the operating budget to the cash flow projections.
Mm-hmm.
So that number is carried into year one of the operations.
Well, do you see on the cash flow it says $979,500?
Right. four lines up, you'll see
the
service.
The 483.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So as long as we're looking at the cash flow. I need someone to explain, in theory, why this board is sitting here as a lender, right? We're sitting here as a lender. You're asking us to approve loans for which there will be no payment until year 17 of the development, and that's in the pro forma. And on the next project, there will never be a payment on that loan. So tell me why, in theory, you know, I understand we're all here for the same purpose, but why, in theory, does that make sense to a board that you're asking to approve a loan?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons for that. One, this is a permanent supportive housing population, and you'll notice that in our traditional affordable housing loans, you'll see that there are payments there. There is cash flow. We could lend the developers more money to produce more cash flow. However, staff has taken the approach that we would rather produce more units than provide the developers with more money to have their deals cash flow. So we're trying to produce units and not, I guess, provide small returns to the Housing Commission because this is a permanent supportive housing population.
Mr. Gentry? I'll come back to you, Commissioner Spoon.
Commissioner Spoon, another way of looking at this, there is no affordable housing deal in the country that works without the support of the federal low-income housing tax credit program. Tax credits provides for an equity investment by a limited partner, which buys down the cost of the property. And I'm not a forensic auditor, but I've had one math course since high school. The way I look at it, there's only two kinds of money in this world, money you have to pay back and money you don't. And everything fits one of those two categories. Equity, of course, from the equity investor does not have to be paid back, but that also has an ownership interest on the part of that investor, which is typical for each of these properties. Each of these properties is a legal partnership with a local general partner who owns 0.1% of the value of the property, and the investor, limited general partner, who owns 99.9%, but is a silent limited partner. Tax credits are the sine qua non that you have to make any deal work. However, they are seldom enough in and of themselves to make the deal work without supplemental funding. And so then if a developer to make a deal work, especially one, as Mr. Miyahara just said, has particular cost attached to the operations and the particular customer base involved, then the developer has to look to other funds. The housing, other funds that don't have to be paid back during the life of the property. The Housing Commission could easily make grants here. Then the money is gone forever. Might be for a good purpose, but maybe not. If we had hard debt, must pay debt, meaning it has to be serviced by the deal, then the property doesn't work. And we might as well not even fool with it. It doesn't pencil, doesn't cash flow, it's not there. So the way to do a hybrid between money you have to pay back and money you don't is money you have to pay back later. And so the way these things are typically set up is that the soft debt or the residual receipts loans, which is a term I've learned, we've had to educate the public on, meaning you pay if there's a residual money to pay it with. If not, you don't. The way to keep from losing the value of that in the future is you create a residual receipts loan where the debt and the interest accrues back to the property. And then when the property ends its useful life in this format, then the money becomes due and payable. So let's say at the end of 17 years or whatever the time period is set up, when the tax credit compliance time period ends, then the owner can do other things with this property. That's when we get our money back. And what it does is it builds in a legacy cash flow into the future I doubt that I'll be around for that, but others here in the room probably will. But that would allow us to look for assets going forward. So it, to me, in my limited financial way of looking at this, is this a way to make a financially viable property without giving away the residual value in that property to the housing commission that could be utilized later. And without the extra money, it wouldn't work. But if the debt were had to be serviced in a hard way, it wouldn't work either.
Back to you, Commissioner Spoon.
So this is a 55-year loan. It's due and payable in 55 years with interest. Now, we know that that will never be paid. I mean, these projects will be remodeled and refinanced, and this loan will be forgiven if at some point, but unless it's converted at the time that the tax credit expires.
If I may, Commissioner, there is expectation that these loans are paid off. One of the items on today's agenda, Hollywood Palms, is a great example of that. We made a loan to them 16 years ago. They are repositioning the property later this year. They're going to repay us our principal and outstanding interest of $3 million. So there is an expectation that we do get paid.
Mr. Christensen.
I was going to say the same thing Mr. Nehar just said. And the Town and Country project we recently acquired is a perfect example of that. And after the 15-year tax credit period, we acquired that with our debt, and we're now going to so we now own the project. This is a good way to do it, and what it is just financing it down the road, and all of these refinance in 15 years. So there's an opportunity at the end of that 15-year period to get the money back, and we expect to do it. Matter of fact, I can't recall a time when we have not at the end of the loan period.
Commissioner Spoon.
Thank you for that explanation. From an accounting standpoint, when I look at approving loans with no way to make debt service, it causes me some concern. However, we appreciate that explanation. I know that they get refinanced at that point, and we actually have started to see that happen while I've been on this board. So thank you for that. What is the lien position of the Housing Commission on these loans, Mr. Christensen? I see that they're certainly not in the first position.
It's normal that we're very close to the bottom, and that's traditional. And we represent most of the agencies in the county that do low-income tax credit financing, and that's the way it always is. The public money is in at the bottom because if you have a conventional lender, that conventional lender has to be in first position to be paid off because it is hard debt. The commission is junior debt, and so we're very often at the bottom. We feel pretty good about that because we tie into the real estate deal that we're repaid upon any of a number of default issues. And if, for instance, if they stop paying the first, we declare a default under the terms of our agreement. We have a subordination agreement on those deals, which allow us to become the owner of the property after we go through a foreclosure. So we always feel like we're in a good position to be able to protect our debt. And if worst comes to worst, we do that through a foreclosure. So we look at that too, by the way, to see whether we can go up the food chain. Sometimes we're less than, we're not last, we're above that. In some cases, we'll share a position with other public lenders. We've done that often with the redevelopment agency, where we take sort of a similar level of encumbrance. So if we have housing commission debt and redevelopment debt, we've in the past sometimes put that debt together and then gone up in a lien priority. So in any event, long story short, is this is typically the way it's done, and we do it with our eyes wide open and build into the loans mechanisms by which we can protect that investment.
Commissioner Spoon, any further questions?
I have no further questions, and I would move to approve.
Thank you. Any further questions from any of the commissioners? Do we have any speaker slips on this item? Okay.
I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner Gremling. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Mihara. Okay. Very good. Let's move on to item 101. This is the Twain Veterans Housing, a loan recommendation and preliminary bond authorization. Mr. Mihara.
Good morning again. This is a $5.5 million loan recommendation and a $19.7 million preliminary bond issuance. This is an excellent development opportunity for the Housing Commission. The proposed project is immediately adjacent to a 13-acre mixed-use development that is currently under construction. You can see that in red. The subject site is in blue. The mixed-use project is composed of 135,000 square feet of office and retail, as well as 588 residential units. Affirmed Housing has assembled four parcels on the corner of Fairmont and Twain in the Grantville neighborhood. They propose to build 160 units, which will be composed of two projects, today's subject property, Twain Veteran, and the next item on the agenda, Fairmont Family. Twain Veteran is an 80-unit homeless development. The development is five stories over podium and consists of 40 studios and 40 one-bedroom units. The project will include a community room and space for supportive services. It will also have a 1,500-square-foot retail component. The site is centrally located to transit and services. It's about half a mile to the Grantville Trolley Station and a half mile to a grocery store, pharmacy, and hospital. The development will serve the homeless. 40 of the units will target veterans, and 39 units will target non-veteran homeless populations. The Veterans Administration has provided a preliminary commitment for 17 VASH vouchers. The remaining 62 vouchers will come from the Housing Commission. Total development cost is approximately $26 million, which equates to $328,000 per unit. The developer will be pursuing VHHP funding from the state and structure the deal as a 4% tax credit bond transaction. In addition, they'll also pursue a separate financing structure. That separate financing structure is 9% tax credits, and we're allowing this so that they maximize the availability of funding sources and for the project to move forward. So it just increases their chances of receiving funding. So staff is very supportive of that. Units will be restricted to 30 and 40% of the area median income for a 55-year term. The units will target extremely low-income tenants as the Housing First approach requires. Next slide is the schedule. Units could be online as soon as December 2018. And I'll open it up for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mihara. The executive summary alludes to it all, at least the way I read it, that it would be for homeless veterans. And so what you said is about half of them will be.
That's right.
All right. Very good. Questions, commissioners? Commissioner Spoon?
Can you explain to me what the current interest rate environment and the current forecast has, the impact that it has on the tax credits?
On the tax credits or debt?
Related to obtain the tax credit financing.
So we're seeing, Treasury yields tick up quite a bit. So we've seen interest rates rise. I don't know, I want to say 50 basis points. I'm sure some of the developers could give you more information on that because they're a lot closer to it than we are. We've also seen recent tax reform proposals impact credit markets, and so we've seen credit pricing drop anywhere from 15 to 20 cents. San Diego was one of the better markets in California. We were seeing pricing anywhere from $1.10 to $1.15. Now we're getting quotes, or I should say the developers are getting quotes in the 95 cents range. There's a lot of uncertainty out there right now with tax reform, and until we know more and the new administration rolls out their plans, investors will probably continue to play it safe.
Mr. Gentry, before I go to you here, again, to Commissioner Spoon's point earlier today on this executive summary, we have a hard cost number on the summary, and then later on in the staff report, we have the total development cost. Let's use the total development cost so that we're comparing apples and apples. Mr. Gentry?
The board may well remember that I worked in the tax credit world for a syndicator for the 10 years before coming here in 2008, and the valuations and fluctuations in the value of the tax credits is an utterly and absolutely normal thing to occur. It's one of the the Garrities of working in the private sector and dealing with the varying values of money going forward. The tax credit program, which came into being in the 80s, reflects the appetite of investors to take advantage of the tax credits in order to make these properties work. If there is significant, and this came out of the last major tax reform the country did in 1986, so as Mr. Miyahara said, if there is significant tax reform in the future, it could affect this program pretty directly. In the meantime, through market speculation, interest rates, and the like, it will have a bearing on the value of the tax credits. However, that does not necessarily mean a dollar-for-dollar loss to the properties, because it's more like a differential calculus than it is algebra. You got a lot of moving pieces. Investors will vary their income in order to stay in the business frequently, as will developers. And so it's not necessarily true that, that more money would be required of us, although it will likely be asked. And this is a comment to the developers in the room as well as to the board. We would look toward if the value of the tax credits were to go down, we would not necessarily see a need for our to put more money in automatically. We would look toward a varied response to any market variation that may go forward.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Okay. Mr. Miyahara, we do no mention about supportive services entity engaged in this. Do we have some?
Yeah, can we have John Worcester or Lindsay Quackenbush come up and describe the services and the partnership with the provider?
That's correct. Yeah, we're partnering with that. My name's John Worcester with Affirmed Housing. The supportive services will be quite similar to those provided by PATH at the Zephyr Grantville Veterans Project. There'll be comprehensive, extensive services. Yeah, they're $300,000 a year. And the service partner is Interfaith Community Services.
Any speaker slips on this? None. Okay. I have a motion. Commissioner Spoon, second. Commissioner Surdy. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Let's move on to item 102. This is the Fairmont Family Housing Project. Mr. Miyahara?
So this project is immediately adjacent to Twain Veteran. It's an 80-unit family project composed of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units. Affirmed Housing is also the developer. They are requesting $9.5 million in capital funds and a $22 million preliminary bond issuance. The proposed development cost is approximately $30 million, which equates to $373,000 per unit. Affordability will range from 30 to 60% of the area median income for a 55-year term. They will also be applying through our Housing First San Diego NOFA for 8 VASH vouchers. They've been working with the VA at first look. The VA is very interested in providing some VASH. There's very little affordable housing options in Grantville. So, again, this is a great opportunity for the Housing Commission to get some stock in this neighborhood.
Thank you, Mr. Mehar. Any questions, commissioners? Yes, Commissioner Moraga.
You mentioned the VASH vouchers. So is that separate from our stock?
It is, but I believe that we administer the vouchers on behalf of the VA.
Construction costs are on average with comparable projects that we have approved recently. Any further questions? Yes, Commissioner Spoon.
So this one really only has $10,000 a year in resident services.
That's right, but this is a traditional affordable project. It's families. They'll engage service providers. There's a lot of in-kind services, so they engage nonprofits that come to these properties at little cost. And for the homeless population that's proposed here, the VA provides all of the services. So the developer doesn't foot the cost for that. So the VA either comes on site or they would go to a VA facility to receive those services.
Okay, I have a motion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Commissioner Gremling.
Yes, Ted, and thank you for that. But I believe on the family part here, there was also a provision for reading and other types of educational services in there. Isn't that correct?
Sure, and I'm sure the developer would be more than happy to provide that at the property. Maybe John could come up here again.
Yes, per our last meeting, the property manager provides those types of services, and they're limited services annually, but it's within that $10,000 budget on this project.
Okay. I have a motion by Commissioner Moraga, second by Commissioner Hubbard. Any further discussion on this item? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay, let's move on to item 103. These are the lofts at Normal Heights. It's a loan recommendation. Mr. Miyahara, are you handling this one as well? Okay, Joe. Mr. Correa.
Good morning, Commission members. In view of the fullness of our agenda, the fact that many of the components of these reports are similar, I'm going to be very brief. This item is the lofts at Normal Heights. It's a loan recommendation. It's a proposed new construction of 52 affordable units, one manager's unit. It is to be located at 3808 Oakland Boulevard. It's a proposed mix of studios and one bedrooms. The site is vacant. There's no relocation necessary. The total development cost is $18,842.09. The cost per unit is $355,510. I'm going to put up a picture of the site on the screen. You can see that it's vacant. And I'm going to show you the finished product here. Too far. The affordability will range from 30 to 50% of every median income. The developer is requesting $5,200,000 residual receipts loan from the Housing Commission, and also the proposal includes 52 federal project-based vouchers for homeless veterans. The developer is Chelsea Investment Corporation. They're an experienced, award-winning for-profit developer. They previously obtained Housing Commission loans, and they produced excellent project completion results. And with your approval of today's proposal, the construction is estimated to start in December of this year. We do have representatives from Chelsea here in the audience for specific questions.
Thank you, Ms. Correa. Let me ask you, on the can you touch on the developer fee and the developer contribution as listed in the staff report?
Sure.
And first of all, maybe you start from, is that an industry average or in conformance with industry standards?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, during the course of the real estate committee meeting regarding this, we had a very lengthy discussion regarding developer fees. And while the amount that's input into this project is higher than what we have historically done, it's what we found is that we were well below statewide averages, and the amount that's in here is closer to what the low income, the TCAP, would project, which is also lower than the national amounts that would be permitted under HUD rules. And so We did go ahead and approve this in the committee for, forwarding over here to the board. But at the same time, we asked that the staff put together a more detailed study and analysis and present that to us at a future meeting for us to look at as a policymaking consideration.
Perfect. Thank you, Commissioner Gremley. I appreciate that color that you've provided to us on this issue. Mr. Miyahara?
Yeah, so the developer fee in the pro forma is $1.95 million, and that's really driven by the tax credit regulations. The developer will be contributing back about $550,000, which would net them a $1.4 million fee, Right now, the commission's regulations require a $1.4 million fee, and the VHHP money that the developer is pursuing also has a $1.4 million cap. And as Commissioner Gramling mentioned, we are evaluating our current fee structure and hope to bring something forward to the board next month.
Thank you. Can't wait to see it. Okay. Commissioners, any other questions? Anybody wishing to speak on this item? None?
I just wanted to comment that I think all of the projects have a $1.4 million developer fee. I mean, at Fairmont's got 2.26, but there's something else going on there.
Right. Fairmont has 1.7. Staff thought it was appropriate for them to garner a higher fee. Every other project has a $1.4 million fee.
Okay. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
I have a motion by Commissioner Gramling, second by Commissioner Surdy. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Let's move on to item 104. This is the post at 310 apartments. Mr. Mihara?
Well, Mr. Correa, are you going to handle this?
Yes, I'm, again, your choice. The next presentation for your consideration is the post 310. This is a loan recommendation and preliminary bond items. It's a proposed new construction of 42 affordable rental housing units. It is located, let me just turn to the slide, you can see where it is located. There it is, at 465 North 47th Street. It's a proposal for, that would include 25 units for homeless veterans. The site itself is two separate parcels bisected by 47th Street. It's the eastern side. You can see it on this slide a little better. The eastern side is a vacant parcel, and the western side is a parcel that is an existing American Legion post building. The plan is to have four parcels, the two ground floor parcels, and to create two new airspace parcels. And instead of a land acquisition cost, the limited partnership will demolish the existing American Legion building and construct a new American Legion building. The affordability will range from 30 to 60% of area median income. The total development cost is $15,529,447. The cost per unit is $361,150 per unit. Let me go to the slide where you can see the artist's rendering. There are two co-developers, a for-profit, Hitsky Development Corporation, and a nonprofit, Housing Innovation Partners, which was formerly called the Association for Community Housing Solutions, TAX. Hitsky is an experienced for-profit developer. They've had no previous housing commission loans, but they have done other proposals and deals in the county of San Diego. The co-developer, HIP, will provide supportive services to the tenants. And with your approval of today's proposal, the construction is estimated to start this December. Let me submit it to you for questions.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioners, are there representatives from Hitchkey here?
Excuse me, I have a question. Okay. Could you explain to me that the land acquisition cost limited partnership would demolish and build a new American Legion post? How does that balance out? Can you explain the economics of that for me? Thank you.
So I think that this is the most exciting thing. Airspace.
Maybe
it's
we
so
could.
Exciting, isn't it? How many American Legion? And there, we have members from the American Legion here today, right?
We do. And yeah. Maybe we can have Ginger Hitsky come up and explain this. She's actually done this successfully in IB. So this is a model that does work, and she's been able to negotiate with the American Legion on this site. So she can provide some context to exactly how it's going to work.
You know, I was going to ask that if it was the similar project that they did down there because of the same name that they utilized down there. Please, welcome. If you just state your name, please. Just push the button. There you go.
Okay. My name is Ginger Hitsky. I'm the president and owner of Hitsky Development. It is the same project as in IB. That's actually how I met the folks from the Post 310. They attended our grand opening. They're in a very similar situation as the Post 820 in Imperial Beach, where they have an aging building and aging membership. and they want to have a new building and new membership. And so they have something we need, which is the right to build in the air. And we have something that they need, which is an ability to produce a new building. It's a very cost-effective way to just to do this sort of air swap, much more cost-effective than a straight-up land acquisition. So that's how we structure it.
Any further questions?
I think it's absolutely wonderful. Yeah. It's so creative. It's such a positive way to approach it, and there are so many other opportunities, right? Maybe you can have your members stand up and introduce themselves today.
Thank you, Commander. Thanks for being here. Yes, sir. Thank you both for being here. If this project's anything like what they did at 820, it'll be a great addition and a great project. So thank you very much for coming here.
I hope you buy them some flat-screen TVs.
I think they'll be allowed.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, there's a correction to the report.
Yes.
I just want to read into the record that in the Table 6, the rent and affordability chart, there's actually 41 one-bedrooms and 2 3-bedrooms. It currently reads as 40 one-bedrooms and 3 3-bedrooms. So let the record reflect that, yes,
okay.
It's 41 and 2 3-bedrooms.
Thanks for clarifying that, Mr. Mihara. Any further discussion? I have a motion by Commissioner Moraga.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Surdy. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. All right. Uh, 105 is the Encanto Village. It's a loan recommendation. Mr. Correa, are you handling this one as well?
Yes, sir. Next, for your consideration, this item is Encanto Village Apartments. It is a loan recommendation. It's new construction of 65 affordable rental housing units and 1 manager's unit. I'm going to briefly go to the artist rendering so you can see what it looks like. There you go. It will be located at 6317 through 6357 Imperial Avenue. And let me turn to that slide so you can sort of see what the location. There you go. It is transit-oriented, located near the Encanto 62nd Street trolley station. It's 6 parcels. Site 1 is 4 contiguous parcels, which you can see there on your screen. Site 2 is 2 contiguous parcels. They are separated by a SDG&E substation parcel, which will be screened off. The site currently has 3 existing vacant buildings, so no relocation will be necessary. The affordability will range from 30 to 60% of area median income. The total development cost is $23,418,404, which is $354,824 per unit. The developer is National Community Renaissance of California, called National Core for short. They're an experienced nonprofit developer. National Core has previously obtained Housing Commission loans And with your approval of today's proposal, this construction is also estimated to start in December of this year. So let me turn it over to you for questions. We also have a representative, I believe John Seymour of National Quarters, in the audience.
Thank you, Mr. Correa. I do see Mr. Seymour in the audience. This project's been a long time coming. Any questions? Mr. Seymour, would you like to address the commission?
John Seymour, National Corps, for the record. Just want to say that we appreciate your partnership. We look forward to doing more projects in the future, permanent supportive housing. The only thing I want to say about this project is not only does it have VASH, permanent supportive housing, but it also is TOD across the street from the Metropolitan Encanto Trolley Station. But it's the first project within the Encanto Village area, neighborhood, just went through the community plan update. So this is going to set the standard of redevelopment through there. So it's about unit production here, but it's also important to the business area along that and the neighbors where they're seeing the removal of blight and redevelopment. So I know that's not your part of the thing, but that's truly a huge benefit to this project with the retail component as well, which your funds are not going to. If there's any questions, I'd like you to approve this, and we really appreciate your partnership.
Thank you, Mr. Seymour. Mr. Gramling, anything you wish to add going through committee?
Going through committee, we challenged them. We asked them lots of questions and kept John busy there for a bit, but felt that this really was a great addition to the area, and I reconfirmed that in my own mind yesterday afternoon when I took a drive back through there and just looked at and envisioned how this is going to set a new standard and opportunity for revitalization. I was a developer of single-family houses right there on Skyline, very close to that, back in the early 80s, and the area hasn't had a lot of rejuvenation since then, so this is going to be nice.
Thank you. I'm sure Councilmember Cole will be delighted to have this new addition to her district. Any further questions? Is there anybody from the public wishing to address this item? All right. Very good. Then I'll entertain a motion to support staff's recommendation. Commissioner Kelly? Ms. Hubbard? Thank you. Commissioner Davis, second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Okay. Item 106. This is a preliminary bond authorization for the Hollywood Palms 2 apartments. Mr. Mehara.
Good morning again. Cameron Chariotti will provide the presentation for this development. I just want to point out, because it came up earlier with Commissioner Spoon's comment, the commission made a loan to Affirmed Housing back in 2001 for $2.2 million. The outstanding balance with principal and accrued interest is currently just over $3 million. With this repositioning and bond issuance, the developer at closing proposes to pay off the Housing Commission. So these are the kind of transactions that we like, where we get our money back and we get to redeploy it in new projects.
Good morning, Commissioners, Mr. Chairman. This item is a request for a recommendation that the Housing Authority take preliminary steps to issue multifamily housing revenue bonds in the amount of up to $19.5 million for the acquisition and rehabilitation of Hollywood Palms Apartments. The project is an existing 94-unit multifamily development located at 4372 Home Avenue in the City Heights community. This development was originally constructed in 2002 and consists of five three-story Type 5 walk-up apartment buildings. Hollywood Palms includes 44 two-bedroom units, 28 three-bedroom units, and 22 four-bedroom units. Current amenities include a leasing office, laundry facilities, a community building, and a tot lot. Proposed scope of rehabilitation includes comprehensive improvements to all unit interiors, site improvements, exterior building improvements, and improvements to the existing community building. Unit interiors will be renovated with new countertops, appliances, cabinets, fixtures, and flooring. The developer of this project will be Affirmed Housing Group during the 15-year tax credit compliance period. Total development costs for this project will be approximately $26.4 million, which translates to around $284,000 per unit. The developer is requesting the issuance of bonds in the amount of up to $19.5 million, and there is no housing commission funds being proposed for this project. However, as Ted mentioned, the developer is paying off approximately an existing $3.1 million housing commission loan. The affordability for this development will be between 50 and 60% of area median income. And once again, these are preliminary steps to issue bonds, and this item, this project will be brought forward to the board for final approval in July, with the developer expecting to close financing and begin rehab work in August. And that rehab work is expected to be completed by August of next year. This concludes our presentation, and we have representatives from our firm as well to answer any questions.
Thank you. All right. We're being asked for a preliminary bond authorization for the Hollywood Palms 2. 15 years doesn't seem like a long time to go through a rehab, but I like getting the payment back on the loan. Any questions, commissioners? I have a motion by Commissioner Spoon. Thank you, Commissioner Surdy. Commissioner, I have a second. Any further questions? Any further discussion on this item? All right, we'll have it back to us in July. All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item 107 on the agenda, we have also a preliminary bond authorization for the Pacific Highlands Ranch Village. Mr. Mihar?
Cameron is also the presenter for this project. I should probably mention that today is Cameron's last day. He's going to be moving on from the commission. Cameron actually started off here as an intern, and he worked his way up to a project manager, and now Chelsea Investment Corporation is stealing him away from us.
No surprise.
But we are very happy to see him go. It's a great opportunity for Cameron, and just want to thank him for everything he's done for the Housing Commission. He's loved here by staff, and he's just a great guy to be around. So congratulate him, and we're sad to see him go.
Thank you. Cameron, congratulations to you.
Thank you, Ted.
Except I thought this was a non-recruiting zone.
Yeah. Okay, so the tip of the day for you is finish strong. So.
Yes. So once again, we have another preliminary bond item to issue up to $24 million in multifamily housing revenue bonds for the construction of Pacific Highlands Ranch Village. This is a 79-unit multifamily development, new construction, to be located in Pacific Highlands Ranch in the North City Future Urbanizing Area. It's going to be on a 2-acre site at the intersection of Carmel Valley Road and Village Center Loop Road in Council District 1. And here you can see that the affordable components are located. There's a multifamily component, market rate component, located in between the two sites and with additional commercial uses. Here is a rendering of the proposed project. This will consist of two type five walk-up apartment buildings on two separate sites. Once again, it will include 15 one-bedroom units, 42 bedroom units, and 24 three-bedroom units. Proposed amenities for this project will include a community room with a common area kitchen, a lounge, workstation, on-site management, leasing office, and laundry facilities. The developer for this project is also Affirmed Housing Group, and the combined development cost for this project will be approximately $31.3 million or $397,000 per unit, and the developer is requesting the issuance of $24 million in tax-exempt bonds. And once again, these units would be restricted to households earning between 50 and 60% of area median income. And these are preliminary actions as well, and it will also be brought forward. This project will also be brought forward for your final approval sometime in July. And the project is expected to be completed by the end of 2018. And that concludes my last presentation. Thank you.
In July. Preliminary bond authorization for Pacific Highlands Village Ranch. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Very well. All right. Okay. A lot of real estate transactions today, commissioners. And with that, we've gone through them fairly well. I appreciate all the questions that were asked by staff, by the commission on this. Good questions. We need to be doing more of that engagement here. Okay, let's go on to the informational item that's before us today. This is a workshop and discussion for Housing First San Diego. Mr. Wayne or Mr. Davis?
Good morning, Chair Ertassin, Vice Chair Surdy, and commissioners. I have a bit of a cold. I hope I'll get through this in a way you can hear it. My name is Jeff Davis, Chief of Staff, and with me is Debbie Ruane, who is our Chief Strategy Officer. Behind us is also Melissa Peterman, our Vice President of Homeless Housing Innovations. We are very pleased to come to you today to provide with you an update on the status of the agency's Housing First San Diego 3-year Action Homelessness Plan. Perhaps we should start with a little history. On January 17, 2014, this board approved a 2-year strategic plan for the Housing Commission. Within this plan, the board directed the agency, and I quote, to define the San Diego Housing Commission's leadership role in the effort to reduce homelessness in the city of San Diego. Staff worked with this board to do just that. And on November 12, 2014, Housing First San Diego was announced by our CEO, Rick Gentry, along with Mayor Faulkner and then Council President Todd Gloria. A number of you commissioners were also present, as were many of our partners. This homelessness action plan was launched as a robust 5-point Housing First homelessness strategy. It's now on target to impact the lives of close to 3,000 formerly homeless individuals, far exceeding our original goal of 1,500. The Housing First approach was validated within our city with the Housing Commission's Partnership Pilot Program Project 25, which began in 2011. The 25 federal rental housing vouchers that were awarded by the Housing Commission, along with 10 vouchers that were provided by the county, and were combined with mental health service dollars that gave the services that these folks needed, and these folks being the most frequent users of city services. And this program resulted in a decrease in emergency room visits of 77% and a decrease in arrests of 73%. It's estimated that in the first 2 years of this small pilot program, more than $3.5 million of city funds were saved. Housing First San Diego implemented the principles of Project 25 on a much larger scale. We know the need for resources to address homelessness is well documented within our city. The San Diego region has the fourth largest homeless population in the nation, with more than 5,000 of those individuals living on our city streets. Slide 3. So before Debbie begins walking through the specific accomplishments of Housing First San Diego, I'd like to give you a summary of our Housing First accomplishments to date. Thus far, 283 permanent supportive housing units for homeless families have been created. 240 additional units just received the approval from this board. And we have 1,853 housing vouchers that have been awarded by the commission to developers and nonprofits. And each one of those vouchers represents a permanent supportive unit for a homeless family.
Good morning. The first accomplishment involves our commitment to award $10 million a year for 3 years, specifically to permanent supportive housing. These funds go to developers in the form of a loan, as you've seen by your actions earlier this morning. And since the launch of Housing First San Diego on November 12th in 2014, $12 million has been approved and $16.8 million was brought to you. So this will add 240 more units of permanent supportive housing for a grand total of $28.8 million out of the $30 million. We also committed to an investment in Hotel Churchill, which had its grand opening in September. $20.6 million was invested into this, utilizing federal, state, and city funding. It created 72 permanent supportive housing studio units for veterans, transitional age youth, and adults exiting the correction system. The property is 100% leased. It's doing very well. And the supportive services are provided on-site by the VA, Pathways, Community Services, and Mental Health Systems through the Center Star program. The Housing Commission also invested $15 million from federal funds, the Moving to Work funds, to acquire a senior citizen property, and we set aside 20% of those units for homeless San Diegans. We purchased Village North Senior Garden Apartments in May and are currently positioning it for a renovation so that we can continue to provide excellent housing opportunities for the low-income seniors who reside there. Another component of our Housing First San Diego Homelessness Action Plan sets aside a portion of our own units to be used for rapid rehousing. While San Diego is currently in a housing crisis with short supply and high occupancy rates, we allocated 25 of our apartment homes for homeless individuals and families. To date, 35 families have been assisted with rental housing since the program began, and those families are comprised of 137 people, including 88 children. 15 families have become financially self-reliant and are now able to pay rent in those units. 12 individuals have secured employment through the Housing Commission's Achievement Academy, and 9 individuals have enrolled in education or vocational training programs through the Achievement Academy. We also made the commitment to award up to 1,500 federal housing vouchers to nonprofit agencies and developments to assist formerly homeless families and individuals. To date, we're exceeding that award by 1,853 vouchers. Among the affordable rental housing developments that have been awarded vouchers are Alpha Square in East Village, Talmadge Gateway in the Talmadge neighborhood of City Heights, Cypress Apartments in the East Village, and the Lofts at Normal Heights, approved by the board this morning.
In the second year of our Housing for San Diego, new initiatives were added to this homelessness action plan. The Guardian Scholars Program is a first-of-its-kind partnership between a public housing agency and a four-year university to provide rental assistance to up to 100 San Diego State University students who are either homeless or at risk of becoming homeless. These students include youth aging out of foster care, under legal guardianship, or who were wards of the state. SDSU's Guardian Scholars program provides financial assistance to attend the university. However, for many students, the financial aid and scholarships they receive are exhausted after they pay for tuition, their books, fees, and food, leaving little to pay for housing. Thus, through this partnership, the Housing Commission provides funding to SDSU, which is used to provide that rental assistance and thus stability to these students. This partnership was launched in August of last year and has thus far helped 61 students secure stable housing. 32 more are searching with a voucher in hand. The agency is also very proud of our Monarch Schools project. The Monarch Schools is a public K-12 school in San Diego dedicated exclusively for students who are being impacted by homelessness. The Housing Commission has partnered with the school to provide federal rental housing vouchers for 25 of these families who have students enrolled at Monarch. Rental assistance for these families help provide that stable housing for the family while their parents attend workforce readiness programs at our Achievement Academy located on the first floor. So far with this program, 20 formerly homeless families have secured permanent housing. 2 others are searching, and the school continues to work to identify more families. Collaboration is essential in addressing homelessness, and the Housing Commission is pleased to report to you that we are partnering with the County of San Diego on its program called Project One for All. Project One for All is a wide-ranging effort by the county and its partners to provide intensive wraparound services, including mental health, counseling, and housing, to homeless individuals with serious mental illness. The Housing Commission has committed 733 rental housing vouchers to this effort. The program is still in its early stages, but we can report that we have awarded 155 vouchers thus far, with 16 households having secured permanent housing with the supportive services that they need. Finally, our final year two initiative is certainly a noteworthy one. This is another major effort that was developed under the leadership of this board, and it provides for permanent supportive housing for up to 1,000 homeless veterans. On February 12th, this board approved the funding necessary, and the San Diego City Council followed your lead on March 1st, 2016 to authorize this funding. The 1,000 Homeless Veterans Initiative includes four program components. The first, Housing Our Heroes, Landlord Outreach Program. Second, Rapid Rehousing Assistance for those who require less than full supportive services in order to be successfully housed. Third, VASH Vouchers for chronically homeless veterans. And fourth, additional Rental Assistance Vouchers to provide assistance to those who do need full supportive services. We received updates just this last Tuesday, which I am pleased to share with you this morning. Thus far, 520 formerly homeless veterans have secured housing. In addition, 325 veterans have rental assistance and are in that search for housing. And 308 unique landlords have joined our program.
Housing First San Diego reflects the commitment of this board and this agency to address homelessness in the city of San Diego. The four-year agency-wide strategic plan that was approved by this board last September also builds on this commitment. One of the three main goals in the strategic plan is to increase the number of housing opportunities that serve low-income and homeless individuals and families in the city of San Diego. In partnership with the city, the county, homeless service providers, and dozens of other agencies and individuals committed to addressing homelessness, we've made a strong impact by committing and allocating our own resources to facilitate this goal. As a community, we still have much work to do, but through our third phase of Housing First San Diego, we will continue to apply the valuable and unique resources that only the Housing Commission can provide. On behalf of our President and CEO, Mr. Gentry, the Housing Commission is proud of our accomplishments to date, and we thank the board for its leadership on this very important issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wayne. Clearly, a significant amount of accomplishments that we've done, and yet I can understand how people look at the problem, and it just doesn't seem to go away, right? This is a significant societal problem that no one agency is going to resolve on its own. But certainly, we're making a significant effort and impact on that issue there. Questions? Mr. Hamlin?
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to comment, and this is for the benefit as well of our development partners, and that is that one of the biggest complaints and one of the biggest difficulties that are placed before the attempt to create this housing is the NIMBYism. And we see this all the time, and yet if you will go by the various communities that we have helped to create that are dedicated to homeless, go by them virtually any time of the day, and you're going to find that the sidewalks outside of these facilities are clean. You're going to find that there's not grocery carts and tents and anything else in the area, and there are not people sleeping in doorways right at those areas. They act to help clean up the neighborhood, and that's something that these community groups fight us hard on, but they don't really understand the true benefit to the community, to their community, of allowing these facilities to go in.
Thank you, Commissioner Bremling. Yes, Commissioner Surdy.
Thank you. I'd just like to learn in the future a little bit more about how you reach out to the landlords and gather more into the system. This can be offline, you know. I'd just like to be a little further educated on that process. Okay? Thank you.
And that's a key issue. I mean, that especially in today's rental market. And staff will brief you on all the various activities that we did at trying to get more and more landlords to participate, but that's a tough issue in this market. Commissioner Davis?
Yes, a couple things. Thank you for asking that, Dottie. One thing is on
landlords that we're trying to get a hold of. I've had a few friends that have units, and they've said, where can I get the paperwork to see about signing up, or who should I contact? So they call you, Jeff?
They're more than welcome to call me, absolutely. However, we do have a landlord line just for those people who will have a live body. We've hired people. It's kind of getting to Commissioner Surdy's point. We have people dedicated to just that effort, reaching out to landlords, talking to them about the incentive programs that we've built. And so if Melissa could maybe tell me what that number is, or somebody else.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear it.
578-7768.
7768. Thank you very much. And my question was really about the Monarch school system. I'm curious, is this done in-house in class, or are the students taken by bus or something to an area to have Monarch school services?
Actually, Monarch School is a large building dedicated. The school is in the building. It's in fact, our old headquarters was converted to become this school. So it's very much like a school. The parents and the children need to drop the children off at the school each morning and pick them up at the end of the day, and they receive all their education over the course of the day at that school.
Oh, wonderful. So a particular location, it's up to the parents, though, to get them there, right? There's no transportation furnished or anything, or...
Yes.
That is correct? Okay. And is this available to not to the homeless children on the streets also? Any homeless to come to the Monarch School?
It is exclusively for those kids. So if a child is identified as living on the streets, they will be offered an opportunity to attend school at the Monarch so that they can find some stability, as opposed to going from one school to the other, depending on where their parents set up temp, if you will.
Okay, wonderful. So the location, if we have children and families in one of our locations, can those children who are newly homeless be able to use the Monarch School also if they're off the street but they're actually recently homeless? Can they use that also, do you think?
If they have, my understanding is if they have stable housing, that would not be the school. The school would not offer.
Oh, so then they would look for other regular public school or whatever.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you so much for clarifying that.
Mr. Gentry?
Just one other comment on the landlord outreach. A year ago when we launched the 1,000 Veterans Program, Housing Our Heroes component of that I thought would be the most significant. And I need to do a recognition and a shout-out. Mayor Faulkner has used the bully pulpit of his office to reach out and get landlord attention. And I think that, together with the incentives that we, from a technical standpoint, placed in the program, has made it work. I figured that landlord involvement would be a weak link, and it has not been. It's been a strong link, and we've learned some lessons there, I think, on going into the future on how to do additional outreach. And so just the landlord community in this city has come along with, to this point, every unit we've needed for every vet out there looking. We'll see when we fill the marketplace up.
Thanks, Mr. Gentry. Commissioners, any other questions of staff on this? Appreciate the update on it. I mean, obviously, this is a huge issue. One thing that we ought to discuss, Mr. Gentry, is how much do we go out and talk about this and share the accomplishments of what we're achieving on this front here. One thing that I do want to stress is the importance of the cooperation with the county and all the service agencies out there. This is not something that the Housing Commission alone is going to solve. Yes, sir.
3 points. First, although the Housing Commission is not a designated homelessness agency, we have wound up kind of in the fulcrum of every relationship having to do with this particular issue in the city over the past half dozen years or so. We've got wonderful working relationships with the city, with the county. We've been able to utilize our resources to leverage other resources to expand what's available to this particular customer base. And I think that, and I commend my staff for coming up with the technical specifics on what to do. This is, you look at all the things we've set out in motion and accomplished in the last, not just the last 2.5 years, but the last 6 or 7 years. It's been excellent work on the part of the staff leadership and the staff program people, and that I'm very appreciative to you all, very much so. Secondly, this also reflects, I think, a proper setting of policy by this board, and I thank you all for that. This is not a one-person operation. This is an operation reflecting the community. You all have done that very clearly, setting not only in a strategic plan for this organization that reflects homelessness in it, but also some specific annual goals for me that I respect. And so I appreciate you all taking your role properly as well and giving specific policy guidance and direction for this agency. Third and concluding point, Mr. Chair, is that as Mr. Wayne mentioned at the end of her comments, we are now working on what I call the Housing First San Diego 3.0, be what we're going to add to the mix this year. And we are going to speed it up just a little bit. Myrtle Cole told me last week that she's convening a summit to discuss the homelessness issue of City Council on March the 20th. And I promised we would have our plan together, at least in draft form by that time. So we are working diligently now. I hope to be able to talk with you about that at the March board meeting here, which is March the 10th, and or privately as we go along over the next month or two. But thank you all again for your support in this area. It's, I think it's something we have excelled at the last 3 or 4 years, and I appreciate the support of this board every step of the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Okay, commissioners, any further questions, any other issues that addresses the agenda for today? And if I hear none, we will adjourn the regular meeting at this point.